The Fan on Demand. He was never taught to keep his opinions to himself. That's why we love him. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Two of a kind. For your information, we're two of a kind.
Two of a kind. It's my observation, we're two of a kind.
Like peas in a pod
and birds of a feather, alone or together you'll find that we are two of a kind.
It's 9:01 on Sportsnet 590. The Fan in for Jeff Blair. That's George Russick over there. I'm Jeff Salmon. And George, you know, for both of us and the rest of the audience, I'm hoping our jaunty theme can cheer everybody up in Toronto, given the Blue Jays' struggles of late. But not only that, but the wet weather outside.
It is pretty melancholy right now in the city of Toronto. Dreary, and the Blue Jays get beat up in Oakland. Well, just look at it this way. The A's return the favor to the Blue Jays.
I suppose if you want to call it a push.
Even Steven.
Of sorts. Even sure. Steven. And isn't that what we're striving for in a Blue Jays season? We're just looking to be even Steven. Is that what we're doing?
All I ask for is meaningful games in September. That's all I've asked for at the beginning of the season.
That would be nice, and it's looking like it's still going to happen, but it's the Blue Jays seem to be doing their darndest to make that not happen.
But there is something to be said about a getaway game and, you know, early September against the Twins when they're like 13 games out of first place. Those are fantastic games to go to.
Oh, my goodness. I used to love
electric
doing as in covering and going to Rays Blue Jays games in September.
Oh, my goodness.
End of a year when the Rays were terrible and the Blue Jays were terrible and the games meant nothing. And there'd be a pitching change. Like, why? Just who cares? I used to hate
those. Don't you wish teams could just defer the rest of the schedule? Yeah, we're done. We're just not going to play anymore.
We're like
just shut it down.
We're a billion games out of it. Just for injury's sake, let's just not waste people's time. But it is Major League Baseball. It's what you tell yourself when you're at those games that mean absolutely nothing. Certainly, he has witnessed his share of those meaningless games, but we're not looking ahead to that this year. We're looking for meaningful games in September. Joining us in studio, Sportsnet.ca's Ben Nicholson-Smith, whose regular beat is the Toronto Blue Jays. Ben, do you do anything else other than the cover of the Blue Jays and baseball and talk baseball?
It's all baseball all the time.
It's all baseball. That's your only thing.
Yeah, I was telling Ben Ennis when he was in here before, it's not going to be fun when you hear me talking about hockey and basketball and tennis. You don't want to hear me talk about those sports.
So we're sticking to your strengths then.
Yes, exactly.
With baseball. Okay, so where are you at right now with this Blue Jays club? They're battered and bruised, to say the least. They're not winning their share of games. They're struggling right now, and there's a lot of trade rumors circulating and not much to do with pitching. That's where we're at right now. So how do you feel about this Blue Jays team right now, and do you feel that it's an absolute must that they make a deal to get healthier, at least for the next month?
Yeah, it would make them a better team. I think that's the simplest way of putting it. And, you know, you look right now, there are a lot of different spots where they could potentially improve. I think second base would be one, third base potentially. Even you look at the outfield and they're just trying right-handed bat after right-handed bat in the outfield to try to get something. And maybe Nolan Reimold is the answer. It doesn't seem like Cole Gillespie was, or Darren Mastroianni, or Brad Glenn. I mean, they're just cycling these guys through. So I think that would be a clear need as well for this team before you even get to the pitching talk.
How important is it this year? And it's been the same old song and dance in this city that, oh, the Blue Jays play in the American League East. It's so hard to compete with the Red Sox and the Yankees, but this is an off year in the American League East. Is it time? To me, it's a two-sided coin. A lot of the fans want to keep these prospects, but the same token, Ben, this is a win-now team with guys like Encarnacion, Bautista, Reyes, Cabrera. These guys are not young dudes anymore. Does Alex Anthopoulos maybe have to sacrifice a bit of that future because the door is still essentially open in the American League East for the first time in years?
Yeah, the door is definitely open. I mean, you look up and down the division, no one is running away with it. And I think, too, I mean, you see teams like the Red Sox and Rays coming on a little bit now. The Rays obviously playing really well, having won 16 or 17 of their last 25, something like that. So if that's a team that maybe takes some wins away from the Yankees and Orioles down the stretch, then you see even more parity for the rest of the year. And maybe you look at this division as one of the rare divisions in baseball where it takes, who knows, maybe 88, 89 wins to take the entire title.
Taking into account what they could add to the Toronto Blue Jays and what they would cost. You talk about Headley out in San Diego, Prado, Aaron Hill, which would be interesting if Aaron Hill could come back to Toronto. I think he would be the least likely of the two Arizona Diamondbacks that we mentioned in coming to Toronto. But of the three, if we can limit it to three, is there one that you think more than any other the Blue Jays should be targeting?
Yeah, I think it would depend. For at least the two Diamondbacks guys, you would have to get money back in the deal because they're making $11, $12 million, and both of them are under contract through 2016. So that's a pretty big commitment. We know this team, not necessarily a strong track record in the last 6 months or so of being able to put together those financial resources. So for me, if you're looking at the player on the field, Martin Prado would be a good fit. He's not having a good year, but he's a right-handed bat, someone who can help you offensively and add versatility. So that way, Jose Bautista doesn't have to be the one bouncing around. Maybe Prado could be that guy. But I think first and foremost, you have to say, well, A, is he able to bounce back and get more to his career norms? And then B, are the Diamondbacks willing to take on enough cash to the point that it's a worthwhile deal for Toronto?
Ben, doesn't this offense need somebody, though, who's having a good year instead of bringing a guy like Martin Prado and a Chase Headley, both struggling right now? And you just kind of fingers crossed, we made this deal, hopefully they can turn things down around in Toronto. Couldn't that backfire on Alex Anthopoulos and the Blue Jays? A guy comes in and then all of a sudden he struggles right out of the gate?
Definitely. And I agree. If there were some way to go out there and add a Chase Utley, that would be amazing. But I just don't see those bats out there, first of all. I think that it's a pretty weak crop of position players on the trade market. So if you're looking at really bolstering your offense, maybe you're looking at a part-time player like Justin Ruggiano of the Cubs. You know, he's having a good year. I'm not sure that he's going to be a guy that you look to as a core piece of your lineup, but he's at least hitting. I'm just not seeing those guys out there. But I do agree, hey, it would be nice to add someone who can really hit.
Now, despite the production we're seeing out of the Blue Jays pitching right now, and it's been good, there are still some people that are out there just saying, guys, what are you talking about? They've got to add pitching. Pitching is what it's all about. Are you of the belief that seeing the Samardzija trade with the A's and the Cubs over the weekend, well, I guess it was Friday night because we were on the air Friday night when it happened, right?
Yeah,
it was Friday night. Seeing that deal, do you look at that and say, well, the bar has been raised in the price you're going to have to pay for impact pitching right now. So maybe you stay away from it?
Yeah, I think that there's some merit to that thinking. I mean, you look at Addison Russell, and he's one of the top prospects in the game. So really, the A's set the bar high and said, if you want to add a impact-level starting pitcher, you're going to have to give up someone really good. And entering the season, Russell was ahead of Stroman, ahead of Aaron Sanchez as far as prospect rankings. He's done nothing but bolster his case as one of the game's best prospects since then. So maybe you look at this team's rotation, which has been pretty solid, not necessarily one of the best in baseball, but way better than I expected it would be coming into the season, better than I think most people thought. And so maybe you say, we're just going to ride this out and really focus, like we were saying earlier, on those position players.
Baseball editor for Sportsnet.ca, that's Ben Nicholson-Smith joining us here in studio on the Jeff Blitter Show. That's Jeff Sammet. My name is George Russick on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Ben, you talk about adding an impact player, and we saw what it took to bring those guys to Oakland. The name keeps floating around, and I'm sure there's 15 to 20 teams are interested in one Adrian Beltre, and we don't know what the Texas Rangers, whether or not they're willing to deal this guy. He has 1 year left on his contract, $18 million. That's a guy if you bring in right away, pow, great defensively at third base. You solve your problem at second by moving Brett Laurie. What would be the price for adding a guy like Adrian Beltre? Because clearly you don't want to part with a Stroman and a Sanchez, but what would be the price if, in fact, you could maybe get a guy like Adrian Beltre?
Well, it would be very high. I think we can say that for sure. And I think that the Rangers view Beltre and Yu Darvish and you know, maybe a Jerks and Profar, those are some of the real key pieces of this team going forward. And as bad as they have been, they have a lot of talent on that team. I think that they're well-positioned, kind of like the Tampa Bay Rays, to bounce back in 2015 and be a contender. So I think that they would be looking for huge impact and impact talent that's close to the major league level. So, I mean, like any team, you're going to hear them presumably asking about guys like Aaron Sanchez, Daniel Norris. I mean, these are the guys who are advancing through Toronto's minor league system and capable of making a difference soon. But Beltre, to me, is a guy who would be fantastic on this Blue Jays team. I mean, he's a future Hall of Famer, someone who can play defense, right-handed bat. He would be an ideal fit, but I think we're probably getting ahead of ourselves because I think he'll stay with the Rangers.
Okay, but adding a position player like an Adrian Beltre with how much impact on this lineup, it wouldn't cost the same price of a Samardzija, would it?
You know, I don't know. I think it might. I really think that it would probably be in that top prospect range because if you're Texas, you're looking at this guy, middle of the order bat, key player on that franchise. $18 million for a player of that caliber is a pretty reasonable deal in baseball. So I think it probably would take an elite level player.
Got to open up the phones because many people want to get in here. I see the phones ringing and we haven't even given up the numbers. So we'll give out the numbers at 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, or *590. You could follow us on Twitter. We'll welcome your tweets there, at RussicSN590, at JeffSammet590, at B. Nicholson Smith as well. You can send us a text, 590-590. Weigh in and talk about who the Blue Jays should be targeting, what kind of a player they should be targeting, a position. Maybe they should put more of the emphasis on pitching. Maybe you're of those that,
I see what
that
you
believe
did there,
that.
I see what I like you
because I'm waiting for people to just send text. You said emphasis wrong. I love doing
New Hampshire.
I love doing that.
Samardzija.
It's the little things, George. It's the little things that gives me pleasure. Where are the Blue Jays at right now in terms of where the ownership might be about giving them money? Because maybe in the past, I'm saying that as a last place team, but we're going to help you improve now. Maybe that was the mindset in this past offseason. I don't know if that was the case. But if you're a last place team, given all the quote-unquote improvements that they had made the previous offseason, I wouldn't be first in line going up to my boss and saying, just a little bit more money. Honestly, that we can fix this just a little bit. I don't think I'd be one to do that if I were the GM of the Toronto Blue Jays. But here we are now. This is a team that's battling for first place that can make a serious run of it here. Do you think that Alex Anthopoulos can go to his manager, can go to Paul Beeston, Paul Beeston can kick it upstairs and say, all right, we can get this guy. This is how much it's going to cost. This is where we're at. Do we get the green light? Where do you think Blue Jays ownership is right now on that?
Well, one thing that Beeston and Anthopoulos say is that every time they go to ownership, they're met with really open ears and they can have an open discussion about mm-hmm. that. I think from the outside looking in, you would have to assume that if they can really make a little bit of a push in the next couple of weeks, that would help their case. You don't necessarily want to invest in a team that's struggling or maybe losing ground to the Orioles and Yankees. So I do think the Blue Jays are going to make moves or at least try very hard to make moves regardless. But I think if they can really win, that's only going to help their case when they do have those conversations with ownership.
Ben, is there going to be a batting helmet being passed around the Blue Jays clubhouse with a lot of dollars in it, like hundreds and millions of dollars? Because we saw that in March, that all these guys were willing to maybe take a little less money, backload some of their deals to bring in a big... Do you think that's a possibility with these Blue Jays?
I mean, it seems like it would at least be a possibility given that it's happened before, but that was a pretty exceptional circumstance. And I think, you know, if you're the Blue Jays, you would want to avoid that circumstance as much as possible because you want these guys focusing on their hamstrings and their quads and their batting averages and you know, really trying to go out there and produce. And I don't think you want them worrying about, oh, am I getting enough back in this deal? Is the PA going to be worried? I mean, you just want them to worry about the production on the field. I'm sure that would be the stance that Anthopoulos would take to a matter like that.
Well, selfishly, I want Blue Jays fans and, you know, many people to get on board with acquiring one type of person. And then a pizza company stepping up and saying, if that person were to come to Toronto, they would get a ton of pizza. And then they don't come. And then what happened last time? We got all the pizza.
We cashed in.
So we were
fatter.
Fine.
We got fatter because Irvin Santana signed with the Braves.
The Irvin Santana
pretty
situation
much
couldn't have worked out better for us.
Exactly.
So it was great because I'm still full from all the pizza that we ate way back when. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, or *590, who the Blue Jays should be targeting. What kind of player they should be targeting, if anyone, and what kind of price you would pay for said target. Russ is in New Jersey joining us on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Russ, your thoughts?
Good morning. You know, maybe some of the guys in the lineup should start hitting before we look. Jose Reyes been a mess, you know, 260 with a 315 or whatever on base percentage, which is not acceptable from a leadoff hitter. They got to throw Lind and Rasmus. I don't care lefties, throw pitching. Adam Lind has become a much better hitter over the last 2 years. He's a lot more selective than he used to be. I know he doesn't hit lefties well, but right now they got to get those guys in the lineup every day and hope they can, you know, hit one when it counts, because this lineup right now, Friday, looking at the lineup, it was just a joke, the bottom four. You knew they weren't, they were, the most they're going to get out of somebody was maybe a single there. The Blue Jays, the guys in the lineup, have to start picking it up also.
All right, Russ. All right, Russ, thank you. Your phone seems to be breaking up a little bit there. Thank you, Russ, for that. And we've heard that sentiment lately. We talked about it, George. But we've heard the sentiment as well that Adam Lind should be in the lineup every day. I mean, the last time I checked, he was hitting 090-something. Now he's hitting 071 versus left-handers this year. This is historically accurate in that he does not hit left-handers. So would you be of the belief that what ails the Toronto Blue Jays offense is to throw Adam Lind in there no matter who's on the mound?
I think that part of the reason he's hitting so well, OPS around 900, I think he's hitting 330. I mean, that is because he's not facing lefties. And I think the moment that you try to stretch that out, it becomes difficult. But I do agree with the broader point that the Blue Jays hitters have to start producing, and that's up and down the lineup because you can't rely on just one or two guys.
Russ brought up an interesting point about Jose Reyes, and people were kind of saying, oh, Jose Reyes is going to come around. He's going to come around. He's Jose Reyes. But as a whole, Ben, is an entire time with the Blue Jays, he hasn't been Jose Reyes, really. Like, we've seen flashes of it,
yes,
but not really the Jose Reyes we expected that they were getting from the Marlins.
Right. Certainly the speed, I think, you look at a guy who once stole, I think, 70 bases in a season. This is a guy who led the National League in triples and stolen bases all the time. That hasn't quite been there. But I think if you kind of zoom out to the general picture of shortstops in baseball and offense in baseball, it's down. Shortstops don't hit. I think you look around the league and you're lucky if you can get a shortstop who's hitting 240 with an on base above 300, really. And Reyes has surpassed that. I'm not sure that he's a huge impact offensive player, maybe the way he was with the Mets, but I think he's still a very good above average player.
With the regards to trade rumors, and I've heard a few people mention this, and Sergio mentions this on Twitter at RussicSN590, at JeffSammet590, talking about Chase Headley, saying that the Headley to the Jays should be done in the next couple of days. And when two main sources report a Jays story, it's usually close. I don't know. I mean, there's two schools of thought there, because the more you hear a name involving Toronto Blue Jays rumors, it's like, okay, count that guy out. That's not going to happen. But is this a bit of a different situation with the Toronto Blue Jays in that they're in the hunt, that a lot of eyes are on the Toronto Blue Jays, and perhaps if we do hear a name more often than not, then that is actually a player that the Blue Jays will acquire?
Yeah, and sometimes it can be. I mean, I think in Headley's case, he's a player that the Blue Jays have had some interest in the past, as Shai Davidi has reported for us, and I think that, you know, he's a guy right now that just has health concerns. I mean, anyone with herniated discs in their back, I mean, I'm not sure what you want to give up for a player like that. He's earning $10 million. He's not hitting right now. Is that the guy who's really the answer to the Blue Jays' problems?
A bad back situation, how does that reflect on the playing surface that the Toronto Blue Jays have at the Rogers Centre?
Great question. I mean, we've seen it with other players before, and I think the one thing we do know is it's just not as forgiving as other surfaces around the league.
Well, everybody's talking about Chase Headley, but he's only hitting .174 against lefties this season with a .269 on base. That's not really solving your issues. So everybody is just talking about Chase Headley, because he had that fantastic season a couple years ago. But isn't this essentially we're just spinning our wheels here? Because you need a guy who can shred lefties.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that that's one of the big issues with this lineup right now. We've seen it for the last week. We're going to see it again on the rest of this trip against the Angels and Rays when the Jays go up against David Price. But this is a team that when you're lining up Kawasaki and Juan Francisco, these guys are not meant to be out there against left-handed pitching, but the Blue Jays' depth has been stretched to that point. And it's like you say, George, I mean, you need to find someone who can really, really be an asset in the lineup against left-handed pitching.
Well, and you look at a guy like Martin Prado versus left-handers, he hits .274, and versus right-handers, .266. I mean, he's a guy who hits .268 with three home runs. I mean, it's not someone that is a massive, massive impact to your offensive lineup, but if we're looking for someone that's a little more even, Prado would be that and would come at a cheaper price if that's something we're factoring in a year like this.
He would come at a cheaper price, though, but as you mentioned, Ben, he's a big-ticket guy. You're maybe paying a little too much cash for a guy that he's essentially not, you know, the juice isn't worth the squeeze,
but if the Diamondbacks eat a lot of that money, but at the same time, if they're going to eat a lot of that money, then wouldn't that raise the value of what the Arizona Diamondbacks could get back in a trade?
For sure, and I think that's kind of the push and pull of these trade talks. We saw it this weekend when the Diamondbacks traded Brandon McCarthy to the Yankees, and they kicked in some cash to get that deal done. I mean, we saw Vidal Nuno go the other way, not exactly a top young pitching prospect in the game, and that was enough with the Diamondbacks eating some cash for the Yankees to bolster their pitching staff with a guy who could be an underrated option for them.
And perhaps given that trade that you just mentioned, that maybe we're seeing the Diamondbacks right now just wanting to have a bit of a fire sale and just get this thing over with. A loyal listener and a loyal caller, Eddie in Fort Erie, joining us on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Eddie, you're going to bring up a name that we haven't mentioned yet that is in the Toronto Blue Jays organization. What you got?
Well, thank you for saying that nice little thing, loyalty and call and things like
You're
that.
Welcome.
I appreciate that. You know what? Something came into my mind about who the Blue Jays should give up, and that's Ryan Goins. And it's just a fantasy idea, and I know I may be ridiculed about this, but you know what? He's had his chance, and he hasn't done well. And I think maybe if you put him in a trade to either Arizona or San Diego, teams that are not going anywhere, teams that are in total rebuild mode, why not, you know, and see if he can get, you know, Chase Headley for the rest of the year or get a Martin Prado or either one of those guys. I mean, what do you think?
Thanks, Eddie, for that. Appreciate it. And, Ben, part of the reason why the Diamondbacks would be investigating into an Aaron Hill trade, aside from his hefty salaries, because they've got an up-and-comer at second base anyway, so a Ryan Goins would perhaps be redundant for them.
I think so, and I think that Goins around the league, people are going to look at him as a guy who didn't hit, a guy who probably doesn't ever project to hit, at least against lefties. So he's probably going to be viewed as a part-time player. And maybe Goins can go out and prove people wrong, but I think at this point, the perception is going to be that he's not someone worth building a trade around.
Does he get another shot with this lineup soon?
I don't know about soon. I mean, I think right now, the way Kawasaki's playing, he's been pretty good, I think, probably better than I would have expected. And so you have a guy who can field the ball there. He can be in the lineup against right-handed pitching. And you know he's going to give you a pretty good at-bat as far as keeping dragging the pitcher out into a long contest and lengthening the lineup a little bit that way.
While we're talking about players that the Blue Jays could give up, what about Anthony Gose? What are you feeling with Anthony Gose right now? I mean, I love the kid's speed. I like him. He's got a great arm. He can play anywhere in the outfield, but he's just not getting on base with enough regularity to look at him. And I believe for the Blue Jays to be sold on this guy being an everyday outfielder. And look, if he ends up being a fourth outfielder, well, then that's fine. But if right now he can be regarded as a good trading piece, would you consider that?
Sure, I definitely would. I think that you've got to look for ways to make this team better now. They have a chance, like we were saying, in this division to make an impact and to make a real run, which is something that people are thirsting for here in this city and across the country, I think. So if that means giving up Anthony Gose, that's something you absolutely have to consider. But I think he would have some trade value because he's a guy who can play defense. You know you're getting that. There's a glimmer of upside there as far as what he can do with the bat and on the base path. So I like Gose. I think he's a big league player, and I think that major league teams would view him that way too.
You mentioned Ryan Goins. Sorry, Jeff. You mentioned Ryan Goins, but is there really that much of a difference between him and Anthony Gose on the hitting aspect? You talk about being a trade chip. Have we seen enough of Anthony Gose where teams go, listen, if this guy, he just can't hit, period?
I think that people would view Gose as more of a potential upside guy. I mean, he's always been a bigger name, and that counts for something in these trade talks. Maybe it shouldn't, but he was in the Roy Halladay trade. He's been viewed as a top prospect. You see flashes of the power. Certainly the speed is very impressive, incredible, more than what Goins would offer. So I think that you look too at, you know, up the middle position in center field. I know Goins can play a really solid second base, but I do think that Gose would have value.
That's Ben Nicholson-Smith, George Russick. I'm Jeff Samadin for Jeff Blair on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Dave is in Toronto joining us on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Dave, your thoughts on the Toronto Blue Jays, where they're at right now, who you'd like to acquire and who you might give up.
Hey, good morning. I battle sometimes when I call with Jeff in the morning, and I think he kind of agrees with me, but likes to keep the battle going. When you're 25th in Major League Baseball in ERA, you kind of know you're not really in the running. And I think that's pretty obvious to anybody who actually takes a look at it. They're pitching, their starting rotation is okay, but it's not great. And to me, a good general manager is a general manager that identifies, hey, it's not our year. And I know everybody's going to be yelling and screaming, saying, oh, we're only two games out. But 3 weeks ago, they were six games up, right? So they're trending downwards, and they're trending to where they have been
historically over the past, I don't know, two decades. So to me, if nobody's selling, and I keep saying this, nobody's selling, you could get yourself a mint. And look at that Oakland team, guys. You build with those young, beautiful arms. You have another. What if you took Stroman and you surrounded him with five guys in front of him, right? So he's a long reliever. Now you got something. But these aging big boppers who get injured and pull quads and hurt their wrist and they get boo-boos, and young Lowry who can never stay healthy, you got to be a good GM and you got to say, look, they're injured property. They're never going to get us more than right now. Now's the time you deal, because, my goodness, look at that Tampa team. Another example, David Price, homegrown. Yeah, he's getting a little older, but you got an ace. You got a chance. This is a team that doesn't have any ace. It doesn't have a stud, right? It's got a junk ballers. You know what I'm saying? Get some young arms in here. Start again, rebuild, and do it right.
All right, Dave, thank you. He wants to start again in a year in which they've been in first place for most of it.
I don't think that's the right way to go about it. And I applaud him for thinking outside the box here, but I got to say I disagree with the conclusion big time. I think that you've got a team that's been in first place for most of the season. I agree there's no clear-cut ace in this rotation, but it's still definitely good enough to keep the team in contention. And you look at the Milwaukee Brewers, who have led the NL Central this year. They don't have a clear-cut ace, but it's getting it done for them. So I think you want to find a way to keep winning.
Ben, Dave mentions how Alex Anthopoulos should tear it down. But if the Blue Jays fall apart and horribly miss the playoffs and don't even play those meaningful games in September, isn't Alex Anthopoulos' job in jeopardy then? If this team falls flat on its face in the second half, and we talked about this going into the season, that this team has to be competitive. Otherwise, AA might be out the door. Do you have that feeling as well?
You know, I think that he's built up a lot of credit this year. But, you know, generally speaking in this industry, if you see a team, if you're overseeing a team that loses a grasp, you're going to have trouble. And we saw it with Manny Acta in Cleveland. They were doing well for a couple years ago. And then he's gone when the team starts scuffling. And it can happen at a moment's notice. I think that, you know, Josh Burns in San Diego this year, it happened to him when the Padres were disappointing. Alex Anthopoulos has built up a lot of credit this year. I don't think we should overlook all of the good decisions that he's made. But yeah, at the same time, any general manager needs to keep winning to keep their job. And that's how it goes.
Ben, we've got more ground to cover and plenty more calls to get to. Can you stick around for the rest of the hour?
Absolutely.
All right. With George Rustick, I'm Jeff Samet. That's Ben Nicholson-Smith. More of your Blue Jay phone calls, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, or *590 at RustickSN590, at Jeff Samet 590, at B Nicholson-Smith on Twitter. Who the Blue Jays should acquire, what they should be targeting, what kind of player they should be targeting, and what the price might be. Your thoughts on these Toronto Blue Jays scuffling right now and need some help, especially when you factor in the injury front that they're on. It's the Jeff Blair Show. Jeff Blair returning tomorrow. Nobody panic. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
With George Rustick, I'm Jeff Samet, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Taking your Blue Jay phone calls, Ben Nicholson-Smith, Sportsnet.ca, with us in studio, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, or *590. I give out the phone numbers, but we got a ton of calls, and we'll try to get to as many people as we can. On that Twitter thing that seems to be growing, I think that's going to stick. At B Nicholson-Smith is where you can follow Ben.
We'll
on Twitter,
about that.
At RussickSN590, at Jeff Samet 590 as well. So we welcome your comments there. But we're talking Toronto Blue Jays and whom they should be targeting via trade. Or maybe you're of the belief that they shouldn't acquire anybody, that the offense is going to figure itself out, that the pitching has been better than most people thought. So once they get healthy, they're going to be okay. Now, is there something to that, Ben, where you look at it and say, okay, well, when Edwin Encarnacion gets healthy and Brett Lowry gets healthy, and I'm not saying the Blue Jays hang their hopes on Brandon Morrow or big expectations, but if Brandon Morrow were to return to form and be healthy, that would certainly be an addition to the pitching staff where you One of those that would say, those are some great late season additions right there.
Yeah, you can really depend on Brandon Morrow, Ben.
He's
as reliable as the Maytag repairman.
I am not saying that.
That's a really dated pop culture now.
It is. How old are you?
I know. Old.
Not old enough to get that reference.
Not old enough to get that reference, huh?
Yes. But no, I mean.
Yes, you are. Liar.
You are. Come on. Stop lying, Ben.
Maybe I missed out on that one. But, I think that when it comes to the Jays, they definitely do have enough offense in that lineup. But at the same time, you don't want to wait around for Encarnacion and Lourdes to get healthy. Because Lourdes, he's going to be out probably until the beginning of August. Encarnacion, who knows? But it sounds like he's at least going to require a DL stint. So do you really want to wait 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks for these guys to come back? I think there's a chance to do something now.
Absolutely. And for Encarnacion, he's hoping to be back in 2 weeks, but normally this takes like 3 to 6 weeks at worst to heal.
Yeah, I mean, and there was some thinking that, hey, if it's even more serious, then it could take longer than that. But it seems like at this point, Encarnacion was very relieved in speaking to reporters yesterday. It sounds like it could be a short-term one.
Ben, let's just play worst-case scenario as Dave in Toronto called in before the break and saying how they should be sellers. What if this team goes into the tank the next 2 or 3 weeks and all of a sudden they're 5, 6, 7 games out of first place in the American League East? Could we see the Blue Jays all of a sudden turn from buyer to seller in a hurry?
I'd be really stunned if that were to happen. I think that they're close enough that they will be in the race, but even in the scenario that you outlined where they fall out of it and they're maybe 4 or 5 games back, I just don't see them reacting that quickly. I think that there's enough parity in the league that there would be hope that they could come back. And even if they were to become sellers, I think that would happen in August. But, you know, and you are going to see some August trades that happened last year and the year before that. So we will see activity in August, but I really don't think the Blue Jays are going to go down that path. I think, if anything, they would stand pat.
Walter is in Bolton, waiting patiently, and joins us on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What you got, Walter?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a couple points, and more points, more so from what you got, what I'm hearing from you guys. And first and foremost is, I agree with the seller's part. Now, I want to be a buyer, because when you're a buyer, it means you're in contention. Mm-hmm. I think the next 30 games are key, whether there's Lourdes, Encarnacion, Bautista, Reyes, the 30 games are key. If we can be remotely close within 2, 3, maybe 5 games tops, then you answered the question in the question itself. What is the price? It's David Price. I mean, everyone's talking about him here, and I don't agree with everything Greg Zahn says, but David Price and Ben Zobrist, that turns our team, with a healthy team, of course, that turns our team from playoff to contenders. Just with those two acquisitions alone. Our bullpen's good. Our closer's good. Pretty much every defensive position except number 2 is there. And to be honest with you, I consider Juan Francisco the Ed Sprague of 1992. He's the guy that's got to come off the bench. He's not the guy who can take 400, 500 at-bats this season right now. I'm on board with these guys. I think AA's done a great job. I really think this could be his last tour of duty if we don't see any respectable games or meaningful games in September. I'm going to hang up. Thanks, gentlemen. Have a great day.
All right, you too, Walter. So first on the Juan Francisco front, you feel that way as well, that he's best suited to come off the bench?
I don't know about a bench player, but he's definitely, for me, a part-time player. I don't think you want him exposed against left-handed pitching, and I don't think you want him out there on defense any more than you have to have him. So, for me, part-time player.
And a reminder, coming back a few weeks, I think it was, where Greg Zahn had said this on a couple of times on this radio station, saying, not only just on Sportsnet, but saying that the Blue Jays have to do whatever they have to do to call the Tampa Bay Rays, go out and get Price and Zobrist, pay them whatever they want, and get in here and get ahead of this before inevitably there is going to be a slide. And he wasn't necessarily, I don't think, speaking to the Toronto Blue Jays and forecasting a slump of any kind, but saying that it's a long season and you've got to figure that the American League East is going to catch up a little bit to the Toronto Blue Jays.
Ben, you said that the Rays are playing great baseball of late and they're kind of playing themselves back into this race. Is Tampa Bay a team that would still trade their ace even though they're getting back into a race because it's the Tampa Bay Rays? But in the same token, are they going to trade that guy within the division? We always talk about David Price, but realistically, if the Rays are trying to track down the Blue Jays and they're still going to deal David Price, why the hell would they trade him to Toronto, a team that can maybe distance themselves from the Rays?
I think that, like you said, the Rays are that one team where even if they're in contention, you can imagine them making a bold move like that.
Absolutely.
And it could be a need-for-need trade. We might see that between contenders. A team, anyone who's acquiring David Price is going to have to give up a heck of a lot. So maybe that becomes major league talent, and the Rays put it right onto their roster and try to keep this thing rolling. But where they stand right now, 41-50, I mean, to be 9 games below 500, they're going to need a really impressive run to make this anywhere close to what they were hoping entering the year.
Well, and if you're acquiring a David Price or David Price type, if there is such a thing outside of David Price, you're thinking Stroman, maybe Hutchison, maybe both. I mean, isn't that just replacing one pitcher with another? I mean, I know it's David Price, but how many more wins are you getting out of David Price over Stroman and Hutchison or one or the other?
Yeah, maybe one or two. So that's right. A big cost to give up in the future. And yes. The nice thing about Price, if you were somehow to put together a package, or maybe it's a team other than Toronto, but whoever gets him is getting him for next year. And to get a pitcher in his prime, we saw him last night against the Tigers, and just everything that he's done since the beginning of June or so has been incredible. Really Cy Young form from him. So I think that there's no question he's the best pitcher out there.
And I'm not saying that David Price isn't a significant upgrade over what you would give up. I'm just saying that I don't think the Blue Jays are in a position right now to take away from the roster to acquire someone that's going to help their roster.
Is there any way David Price doesn't go to free agency?
No, I mean, the one way that he wouldn't go to free agency would be if he's traded and then signs an extension with the team that acquires him.
But you don't see that happening, though, do you?
It could happen. I mean,
why wouldn't he? He's going to get a ridiculous amount of money. We saw what Zach Greinke signed. Zach Greinke's pretty good, but Zach Greinke isn't David Price.
For sure. And I think that if Price wants to maximize his earnings, maybe he does go to free agency. But we've seen it with guys like, you know, whether it's Justin Verlander, Felix Hernandez, Clayton Kershaw, these guys all signed for $175 million plus without ever spending one day on the free agent market. So you can cash in without reaching free agency.
And I guess it depends on the destination or David Price is going to be at that moment. Chris is in Toronto joining us on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Chris, your thoughts on the Blue Jays?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good. I think you look at the Toronto Blue Jays, and when they were up by 6 or 7 games, they were doing it with hitting and offense and timely hitting and defense. Not so much pitching. It was okay. Still, their pitching is ranked one of the worst in baseball. It's not the best. It's far from being the best. I always believe you should deal from a position of strength. You look at the years when the Yankees win, Boston wins, anybody wins. The managers will deal from a position of strength, meaning they'll do their deals when they're up by 4 or 5 games. Alex Anthopoulos has just left the ship. The ship's passes by, guys. When the Jays were up by 6 games, that's when he should have addressed the positions he needed, dealing from a position of strength. Now he's in a position of complete weakness. This team is finished. They're not going to win the division. There's not a chance. And Alex Anthopoulos will be gone at the end of the year.
Shut it down.
Take a listen.
Oh, wow, Chris.
Shut it down.
Thank you. I am so depressed.
Shut it down.
It's raining and we stink.
The team is 2 games out in July.
Wow.
Shut her down.
That was a real downer.
Yeah, I mean, 2 games out, like you said, they're in it. And they're not a perfect team, but they're in it.
Ben, what fan in this city, and what Blue Jay fan on this earth, if you would have told them before the season started, this team is going to be 2 games out of first place, just before the All-Star break, every fan would have taken it. So it's where we are right now, and this is a good spot where the Blue Jays, obviously, are they as good as they were in May? Probably not. Are they as bad as they've been lately? Probably not either. We still haven't seen really the true Blue Jays, but they're in a pretty good spot, even though it is, before the All-Star game. Obviously, got to do something, but Ben, nobody saw the Blue Jays being 2 games out of first.
Absolutely, and the team that they're up against, the team that they're trailing is the Baltimore Orioles, and I think, again, at the beginning of the year, if you had said that would be the team leading the division, I think you would have taken that, because compared to the Red Sox, compared to the Rays and Yankees and some of the potential powerhouse teams in this division, the Orioles, I'm not sure that they scare that many people at this point.
They do not, and they're not going to run away with this division. I thought the Red Sox would start to go on a bit of a run, but now they find themselves in last place in the American League East. Lawrence is in Markham joining us on Sportsnet 590, the Fan. Lawrence, you're dangling a name that we haven't mentioned in trade bait. Who is it?
Yes, actually, good morning, gentlemen, and Ben, don't be depressed. It's, rainy days and Mondays.
Okay, thanks.
And, this is my first time calling, but
welcome
you get
aboard.
A lot of what I call the catastrophizers. 2 games out of first, that's it, season over, fire everybody.
Shut it down.
And bring in Nonis, and let's go on.
Oh, goodness. Wow.
anyhow, yes, as part of the fun armchair general managing speculation thing, just something I've been thinking about. I just wanted to get your opinion on it, although I might have some idea of what you think. But what about the idea of dangling RA, especially to a National League team? I can't profess any intimate knowledge of what's going on, say, in San Fran or St. Louis, but both teams are definitely in it. San Fran is certainly up against it with the Dodgers. St. Louis is scuffling a little bit. Vaca's hurt. Gomez is hurt. The idea of dangling Dickey might be able to bring in something as far as a good position player, maybe a fourth or fifth starter. The other advantage I see in that is it solves a bit of a catching problem, at least from my point of view, and that is Tolle, they've got to play him every 5 days to catch. But if you could move Dickey, get something in return that's valuable, especially from a position player, it frees you up. You can just send Tolle to the minors and bring Kratz up. And to me, now you have a good 1-2 catching situation with Navarro and Kratz, because Kratz has got some pop. He's been well praised for his game calling, which I think is important. And the other big wild card in all that, if you wanted to move Dickey, is, and it's a huge wild card, is a guy named Morrill. And part of that might be contingent on how well they think he's going to progress. Can he contribute, even if it's in August and they can get somebody to fill in as a reasonable fourth or fifth starter in the meantime, and just see what's going on? Your thoughts?
All right, Lawrence, thank you. The idea of trading R.A. Dickey.
I don't think it's going to happen. I just think that the Jays acquired him to be a big starter, a big piece of this team. And like it or not, he's here. I know a lot of people are disappointed by the fact that he hasn't been that Cy Young winner, but he's a solid starter for the Jays, and I think that's what he's going to continue to be. I just don't see him, A, having a ton of trade value, and even if he did, I think that the Blue Jays are just going to hold on to him. He generally, this time of year, if you're seeing trades, it's either for a pending free agent or for a younger player, and that's not R.A. Dickey on either front.
It's squeezing Tom in Waterloo on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. All right, Tom, you got about a minute. Let's make a count.
Well, it's short. Just on the GM thing, everybody wanting to get rid of Alex. Please remember that the winning teams, these guys, the general managers have been around 15 years, 12 years, 9 years. Firing the GM isn't the answer. Please look at the 09 rosters in the minors. There was nobody, and I mean nobody, when this guy took over. And nobody has mentioned we need an arm in the pen. It just keeps slipping by. But we do need an arm in the pen. It just keeps getting lost and all this other stuff. And, hey, we're only 2 out, guys.
Tom, thank you for that.
2 and out season's over, by the way, Tom.
Yeah, that's right. Shut according to a couple of callers. I'm glad you mentioned bullpen help, and we got like 30 seconds here, Ben. But, yeah, I think that any time that a team is making a run, a playoff run, adding an arm into the pen, that's never going to hurt.
I agree. I completely agree, and it's true that, you know, it is a little late in the day to be mentioning it, but 100% that would help the Blue Jays, and I wish I'd brought it up earlier, because you look at the bullpen, it's been shaky at times that they could have really used someone. That is one way the Blue Jays could improve their club.
Scoring more than 4 runs in a 4-game series is certainly going to mask what ails the Toronto Blue Jays.
Silver lining for the Edwin Encarnacion injury, you ready? He doesn't have to be in the home run derby and ruin his swing.
Oh, right, because we know that talk is happening.
Hey, sunshine on a cloudy day in
Toronto. Thank you for bringing that, George. And Ben Nicholson, Smith of Sportsnet.ca, thank you for bringing yourself into the studio. It's always a pleasure.
It's about a 30-second walk, and I'm happy to do it anytime. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. Now, as we continue the Jeff Blair Show, we're going to turn our focus to little hoops and join Chris Sheridan, publisher and editor-in-chief of SheridanHoops.com. Oh, the drama that is LeBron James returning to Miami, but all of a sudden talking to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Oh, it doesn't get any better than that. We'll talk about it as we continue the Jeff Blair Show with George Russick. I'm Jeff Sam at Sportsnet 590 The Fan.